Right. Oh, yep. I'm live. Yeah. Rightio. For those who don't know me, my name's Noel. I've been coming here since about the end of February. Yeah, so, and really enjoy the fellowship we get here. Right. I thought today I'd talk a wee bit about names in the Old Testament, just some names. We're not going through them all. There's a fair few there. But I'd have a wee look at some of the names there in the Old Testament. And I think we'll start, I've spoken on it before, but I'll start with Elohim, the name of God. Elohim, what does it mean? Well, the E, have we got the, oh yeah, hopefully we'll get some, oh there we go, we've got it up. There we go. It starts with E-L, or A-L, it can be either in the Hebrew. And then you've got the Ohim, the O means absolutely nothing, and the Him means plural. So it's basically saying he's a plural God. You know, I'm going to try and work this thing. It's that one there, is it? Yeah. So there goes your A. I've got a good, nice good one this time. You can actually see it. Yeah. A is first, strong, mighty. And then we'll go to the L. And there it goes there, the Lamed. It's a staff, rule, teach, and of course it's tongue for some reason. Yeah, that's what they say. So what does it mean? What does this name of God mean? Well, it basically means the first strong mighty. I'll get this thing. First strong mighty, and then we'll go down here to Lamed. Shepherd, it's a shepherd staff, so it means to rule. So the first strong mighty shepherd, or the first strong mighty ruler, it can be the first strong mighty judge. So let's have a look at some verses. I'm just going to skip through them quickly in the Old Testament. I won't turn to them. Genesis 49:24 says this. This is Jacob blessing his children. And he says this, his name is the shepherd. His name is the shepherd. Psalm 23, David, what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 80, the shepherd of Israel. Isaiah 40, like a shepherd. Isaiah 63, the same thing. It refers to God as the shepherd. Then we've got Ezekiel, Ezekiel's challenging the people, and he's saying, you've got no shepherd. Your shepherd's left you. And then, of course, we go to the New Testament, and what does Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. He took the name of God. He really wound up the Sadducees and the Pharisees and everybody else because he took the name of God. I am, he didn't say I am a shepherd, a good shepherd. He said I am the good shepherd. So there it goes. We can know Jesus and we can know God through knowing Jesus because he is God, the good shepherd. But sadly, for some of us, I don't know if there's anybody here, if they don't know him as a shepherd, it's the same name or the same L, Lamed, you get in the word for king, which is, now it's run away from me. What is a king? He's a Melech. M is, well, there goes M. There, I might as well go through it. M is blood, water, or chaos. So you, out of all these, you take which one matches the in context with the sentence. So when you get a king, you look and you say, well, is a king a water person? Is he a blood person? Or does he rule over chaos? And we know that the chaos one fits. So you've got the Melech, you've got the chaos, and then you've got the staff. And you know, sometimes a staff has to be used as a disciplinary item. And we see that right through the Bible. All these pictures that come in the Hebrew tell us, or match, they're all symbols that match to what is actually happening. So when you get to Malek, you've got the chaos and you've got the king with his staff and his hand, and he's ruling the people. Of course, we know there's only one great king, and that's Yeshua. So anyway, there it goes. Some people can actually meet God as their judge, as the one who will discipline them because they've rejected him. So anyway, that's Elohim. Amazingly enough, when it comes in the Bible, when the first appearance of it comes, it says, make man in our own image. The Hebrew people, they reject that and they say, no, look, it's a mistake. Because, and in actual fact, it is used in that one time. It's actually two plural words. When you're reading Hebrew, if you get two plural, it confirms it. In our own image. So there you go. God is not just one. He's one and more than one. Elohim. Which is a strange word, because that's, of course, what they argue about is, how can one be more than one? But we've got the same thing when it comes to a husband and a wife. The two become one flesh. The plural become one. But anyway, we might go there yet too, yeah. So that's Elohim. The other word, of course, for God is Yahweh or Jehovah. And I've gone through this before. We'll go through it again just to get it right. What does Jehovah? Well, you just take the, when you're reading Hebrew, you've only got the majors or the consonants on the top line, and the others, when you say Jehovah, you only take the consonants, and I'm not good at saying that, and you look at them, they've got the meaning. On the bottom line, you've got the vowels, though not always, the vowels aren't always on the bottom line, but most of the time they are. And the vowels don't mean anything, but the majors do. So let's have a look. Yahweh, we know we've seen that before, so it's Y, Yod, arm and hand, work. I've done these arm and hand, and I should actually have a wee comma there, but instead I've just put a capital for work, activity, deed. So it's arm and hand, work, activity, deed. Of course, the Jewish people would say, yes, right, well, it's work, it's activity, deed. And you look at God saying he stretched out the heavens with his hand. That's what they say. So they say he's a God of who stretched out the heavens. And then hay, which is this one here, window, behold. So behold, he stretched out the heavens, or behold him now. They say, so he's a God of the past who stretched out the heavens. He's the God of now. Behold him now. And then you've got the Vav, which is right there. And he's the God of the future. He'll establish and he'll work for the future. That's what they say the name Yahweh means. Well, I agree with that. But we can have another look at it, and we can see something very simple, the very simple meaning of it here. Yod, arm and hand, stretched out. Where's hay? I'm looking for it. There we go. Behold. And then Vav, nail. And then hay, behold. Outstretched arm and hand, behold, nail, or nails, behold. It tells you another story, doesn't it? It tells you of a cross. It tells you of Yeshua on a cross. That's the name of God. I see that in it as well, and many people do. Now, this Vav, I want to have a wee look at this. I want to just tell you a bit about the Vav today, because it comes up again, this nail. I listened to some rabbis this last week, and if you get online now with our modern technology, you can get on there and you can hear rabbis, and as part of their training, they have to speak about different things, and even some of the old rabbis get on there and they'll talk for sometimes 3 hours on one letter. So here they are, they're training up and they're... So I was listening to some speaking about the vav this week. And they were saying about the first time it's spoken of in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and... The vav is the most used word in the Old Testament. It's there over and over again, the word and, or to connecting. So a nail joins and it connects. So here it is in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens, vav, and the earth. He connected the two. And you know, they talk for hours and hours on how God established the heavens and the earth, and he brought the two together. The nail speaks of that. And, you know, I was listening to them speaking, and I thought, wow, nails connecting the heaven and the earth. And it took me straight to a place. It took me to Calvary. And when we look at Calvary, what do we see? We see a man on a cross, outstretched. And what's he doing? He's connecting heaven and earth. He's bringing them together. He's telling us, he's showing us that nail, those nails actually established a connection between the two. You know, we can celebrate that God created the heavens and the earth, but we can celebrate more that God actually brought the two together on a cross. And the next word, person I'm looking at is Adam. But what he did was that cross was placed in the ground. And that's the word Adama. That's Adam. That's where Adam came from, out of the Adama. And here we've got a cross in the ground. And we've got a man who claims to be God, and he's nailed there. And he's connecting the two. He's bringing the two together. What an amazing picture. Nails connecting it. You know, the other night at our Bible study, we had a talk about slaves. And nails come up in slaves too. You know, for 6 years you could serve. What was a slave or a bond servant? They were actually a bond servant. There was no jails back then. If you murdered, your life was taken. If you offended against somebody, let's say I decided to go and steal Steve Reardon's car and took it and smashed it up. I didn't have any money to pay for it. And they caught me. I would go before a judge. And they would say, well, you owe Steve Reardon, I don't know what his car is worth, $10,000. Not that much, oh well. Let's say the judge says $10,000. And then they would say, right, you owe Steve Reardon $10,000. You're now his bond servant. You've got to pay that debt. And Steve Reardon says, I don't want him working for me. I haven't got anything for him to do. So then he'd say, well, look, I've got this person who owes me some money. Can anybody else give me $10,000 for this person? And he'll serve you for 6 years. So somebody would come along, let's say Jeff Martin comes along and he says, right, I see that your bond servant is actually a builder, which I'm not. And I've got a room I needed added to my house. And he says, look, I'll tell you what, Steve, I'll pay the debt. And now he's my bond servant. He's going to serve me 6 years. So I start serving for 6 years, and I shouldn't have made it me because this isn't working. But well, let's make it a young fella. And he's there and he's serving Jeff Martin for 6 years. And then Jeff Martin's got another servant he's purchased, or he's got a daughter. And this daughter's there, or this other girl's there, and he falls in love with her. And after the end of the 6 years, he says, I want to stay on. I want to be your servant for life because you are such a great master or a great person to be with. You know, this is all pointing to something else again. And here goes this young person and he says to Jeff Martin, can I become part of your household? I love the girl, I want to marry her. You read this in the law. And what does Jeff do? He says, yeah, look, you can. You can take on the Martin name. You can become John Bar Martin. You're joined. Bar, the house of the man Martin. B is, oh, actually we better go through that. B is house. So you become part of his house. And Resh, where is it? Head, person, the person. So part of the house of the person, Martin. That's the son. That's another name for son. There's Ben as well. Ben is house, but En is noon. And there's Jeff's got a man by that name as well. That's his seed. That's somebody who's come. He's a biological son. He's a Ben. He's a Ben Martin. Well, anyway, here comes this young guy and he becomes John Bar Martin and he becomes part of the house. But how does that transaction get done? I used to look at this when I was young and think, what a crazy transaction. Jeff takes this young person and he might be an older person too, and he takes him, grabs his ear and he takes him over to his door, his dalet of his house, and he gets a nail and he drives it through his ear to the doorpost. And the young person isn't screaming with pain. He's saying, this is wonderful. I love my master so much. And I love his daughter so much or his other servant so much that I am now John Bar Martin. And the nail comes out and he's got a permanent mark there. He's got a mark on his ear. He's got a wound on his ear. And it tells everybody that John is now John Bar Martin. And he takes Jeff's name, the Martin name. He might not have had much of a life before, but now he's become somebody. He's got a name to go with. Now, let's look at this nail through the ear. And then we look at what Yeshua did. Heaven and earth. And what did he do? He loved us so much that he wanted us to become part of his family. So he allowed man to take him and nail him to a cross. And they hammered those nails not through his ear, through his hands and his feet. And he did it for us, that we could become Bar Elohim, the sons of God. And, you know, that's what Mitch was telling us earlier. We become not just the sons, there goes, I'm using the word son. We become the children of God. Why? Because of what he did. And what's our response? I love him so much that I want to serve him. I want to be part of his house. He's done it. He's taken the nails. And I want to become part of his house. And I respond to that, to his love and mercy and grace. And I say, I want to become part of the house of God. And I look to the cross and I see those nails and I say, Yeshua paid it all. He took the nails for me. Not through the ear, through the hands and feet. To connect me to his house. Are you connected to the house of God? Are you a Bar Elohim? Because it's the offer that God gives us in the book. He says you can become part of God's house. And what connects it? The Vav, the nail. There it goes there, the Vav. Join, establish. He establishes it when those nails went in. He established a connection between heaven and earth that we can become the children of God. What an amazing picture. So there we go. Yeah, where am I? I thought we might look at Adam too, and Eve. I've said to you, Adam, what the name means is it comes out of Adama. So that's the next name we read in the Bible was, you've got Yahweh or Elohim, Yahweh, and then comes Adam. And Adam comes out of the Adama. First, you, like I say, in the Hebrew, you choose which one you want that matches the narrative. So he's the first, and he's the door. Now, this is interesting, this door, this dalet. What's a door? Well, if you know your Hebrew, well, if you know the Hebrew people and the, what, where the door comes from, is when you're born, you come through a door and you take on a body. Your body becomes your house. That's how it goes. You take up your house, you establish your own house, which is you. You've got your house you live in. You've got your house, which is your body. And that's why, there we go. Our word body actually starts with house and door. There we go, body. So here you are, you've come into your house and you've been born into the world. But when you die, you go out the door. You go out the door again. I don't know if anybody's seen the film Gladiator. I suppose everybody has. I'm hoping everybody has. But at the end of it, it was almost biblical. Here goes this man and he comes to the door and he goes through the door as he dies. And there goes, everything's beautiful. He meets up with his wife. And that's how it is with the person who knows Yeshua. They'll go through a door. They'll exit the door. And there they are. They go into God's presence. Well, that's how the Hebrew is. It talks about doors, dalets, and that's, of course, where our word death comes from, or dead. We've got lots of these words in English that use these same letters. Born, birth, you're coming into the house, you establish your own house. When you die, you go out the door, out the dalet. So, where was I? Adam. Of course, he came up out of the ground, and that ground has got something to do with door, and I think that when you look at it, remember when Cain killed Abel, it says the earth or the ground has received his blood. So it tells you there that the earth received his blood or the ground received his blood. So Adam's name was ground, into the ground that you came out of. So that's the word Adam. He came out of the ground. God formed him out of the ground. It's amazing when you read, I've got it here, chapter 2 of Genesis. Here it goes, it's got it here. And out of the ground made the Lord, my eyesight's getting bad. I think it's verse 6 or 7, is it? Oh, 6, 7, 8, 9. Try 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Oh, no, that's not it. And the Lord God placed a garden. There we go. It's one before that, 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So here goes God and he makes a man out of the ground. And amazingly enough, when we die, what happens to us? We go back to the ground. We just go back to what we came from. I'm going to read on because there's some pretty amazing verses here, because here goes Adam, the first man. And then God does this other amazing thing. Here he is. He's made Adam. He's got Adam there. And God's there and he starts making animals. Can you imagine sitting with God or standing with God? And here he is, he's making animals out of the ground and he's forming them. And he's saying, Adam, you name them. What a relationship. Could you imagine such a close relationship with a creator that he's actually making animals out of the ground and he's presenting them to Adam, and he's saying, what do you think about this one, Adam? And Adam says, wow, that looks like a sh. What's a sh? That's a sheep. He says, that looks like a sh. So I don't know, sh, of course, is that word there, which actually means sin. It's our word for sin or shin. It's to tooth. It represents a tooth, and it's to break, destroy, or separate. So I don't know what happened with that first shift that he made, but there must have been something that made Adam think it's going to break away, or it's going to, I don't think it's going to destroy, but perhaps it was breaking away, I don't know. But he called it a sheep, and we still call it a sheep today. And there goes the first sheep made. Adam called it a sheep. Comes along and he makes a Zeus, which is a horse, and it actually means happy jumper, or not happy jumper, but it means joyful I'm trying to think of the word, but anyway, that's what Adam called it. He obviously saw that it was very lively, and he called it a Zeus. And you can find other words in the Bible there too. They're not all easy to understand because we don't know what Adam saw in these animals. But there he is, he's making these animals. He presents them to Adam, and Adam's saying, well, lovely shh, but nothing was compatible. So then what does Adam do? God do? He makes him a woman, but he doesn't go to the ground. He goes to Adam. And what does he do? Well, this is the word he uses. The shin word, which is our word for sin. You might notice shin is the same word as our sin, but then you've got, you can put a T in the middle of that and you've got the word Satan or Shaitan. So you've got to separate, break, destroy Satan, the covenant with the noon, the seed. That's how Satan comes about. And shin is just to destroy seed. But it's used in other areas as well. So what he does is he takes Adam and he cuts him open. He separates his flesh. And then he cuts a bit out, or separates a piece out. An angular, it's called in the Hebrew. And out of this angular, he forms a woman. And Adam says, wow, I like this one. When he wakes up, he's asleep when it happens. And Adam says, wow. What an amazing thing. Amazing woman. And he calls her. She becomes his. I better get this. Oh, where have I put it? Oh, well, it's all right. I can remember it. He calls her an Ish. Oh, no, not an Ish. An Ish. Ish. Sea separated. That's what her name means. Sea separated. Or sea. I don't think it's sea destroyed, because Adam was still alive. And I don't think it's sea break. It's sea separate, because we know that from the narrative. So he sees the separated woman, and rather than call her woman like we would, he calls her, what is it? I'm getting confused between Adam, because he's an Ish and she's an Ish. So here he is, he's got this Ish. And he then says, and now God goes on to say, and a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But the man becomes, Adam's now got a new name, and he's called an Ish. And that's this, our arm goes in to separate, A, first. It's these letters here. It's A, first, because we're not going to say he was strong and mighty. And C, oh no, sorry, A is Y. First, arm goes in and separates. And you can see the picture. God goes into Adam, separates something, and he makes this Ish. So there's Ish and an Ish. And that's the man and the woman, or the husband and wife. and he separates them. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They'll be no longer separated. They actually go back to what God made them. One. The two become one. Amazing relationship. The two are joined. Now, can we see Christ in this? Yes, we can. Because he hung on a cross. And where did the spear go? Into his side. He was broken at the cross. He was broken or break. And why did he do it? So that he could get a bride. And that bride is a pretty motley, well, in my case, it's a motley sort of a person. But he wants me as his bride. He wants the church as his bride. And no matter how, what we are or how bad we are, he wants to take us to be joined to him so that the two can become one. Once again, the two, one, heaven and earth, joined together. Going back to that bondservant, can you imagine somebody actually doing that? Taking somebody into their house who's offended against them? And this person's a thief. He's no good. And there you are, you want them to live in your house. There'd be people I know what I'd, if I had a burglar that had broken into my house, I know what would be happening. I'd be getting advice from all sorts of people and they'd be saying, do you really want him to be part of your family? Do you really want him to be nailed to your door that he becomes part of your household? That's why the picture's way beyond what we see. I wonder how many it ever happened to. How many of these bondservants ever became part of houses? Well, we do know some did. We know that Abraham had a bondservant and his name was Ebenezer, I think was he? I've got it written down here, but I can't see it. My eyesight's that bad. So anyway, here goes Ebenezer. And Abraham complains to God. The servant, my servant, Ebenezer, will get all I have because I've got no children, no son, no heir. So he was part of his house. And he when Abraham died, he was complaining, if I die, this servant's going to get all I have. And God made him a promise that he would have children in his old age. And Ebenezer never became part of his, never got all he owned. Because we know Isaac was born. Well, here goes, God's bringing together the Aish and the Ish. He brings them together. Another picture of Christ. We're going to move on, and I want to move on to another person because where am I? Oh, there it goes. I found my Aish and my Ish. So I finally got there. I want to go to another person. I'm going to go to chapter into I'll skip that. Adam and Eve. Oh no, we should actually look at Eve a bit because her name isn't Eve. The next thing that happens, of course, after Adam, after God makes this woman is, God had said to Adam, you can eat of any fruit of the garden, but not this one tree. And what happened? The serpent came and told Eve, you not shall not surely die. He used the exact same words as God had used. He repeated them. He repeated God's word and he said the exact same words. You shall not die, not die. It's here twice, not die. So he takes, Eve of course takes the fruit and Jeff Martin did a great talk on this a few months ago. And there they were. They'd lost their shine. They were hiding from God because they knew they were naked. And then God comes walking in the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam's silent. He's hiding. He's got some fig leaves on him and so is Eve. And now they're hiding in the garden. And Adam says, God says to Adam, how did you know you were naked? And then he tells the story. This woman you gave me, it's all her fault. That woman you made me, or made out of me, she did it. It's all her fault. And then God says, well, and Adam and Eve are expecting a death. And then God runs through some new rules that have happened. You can't live in the garden. There's going to be thorns. You're going to have to work the ground. Things have changed. And then Adam makes this most amazing statement. In verse 20 of chapter 3, I think it is, chapter 3 of Genesis. And Adam called his wife's name Sheva. We got it translated as Eve. I don't know why they translated it as Eve. They must have thought we can't say Sheva. He called his wife's name Sheva because she was the mother of all living. And here goes, this is what Eve, the name we know as Eve, this is what her name means. Fence, protect. And Vav, join, establish, works, nail. And then a H, I was going to talk like an Englishman and say hey, but it's an H, we know it as. Behold, mercy, seat, spirit. That's of course the Spirit of God too comes in that H. And we see that in Abraham. He was Abram and he became Abraham. We see it in Sarai, she became Sarah. So once the Spirit of God enters, the things change. Well, here you go. This is Eve. She's protected. She's joined. And it's revealed. This is her name, Sheva. What does it mean? He calls his wife Sheva because I think he sees the mercy of God. He sees he's not died. And it goes on to say about this, God making something again. He's making tunics now. He's making clothes of the skin of an animal. And he's clothing them. And this word, Sheva, what do you think it means? It means life. That's what it is. You're separated. You're joined. And it's revealed. You're joined to who? You're joined to God. You've now got your life back. You thought you were going to be dead. And she's the mother of all living, but her name simply means life. And you know, Israelis, we host Israelis and some of them come and they'll have these, one thing, they'll have their, tehillim in their pocket, wee copy of the Psalms, and some of them will have in this pocket, they'll have a Sheva. And they say, when they're leaving, they say, look, we've got these, we've got heaps of these in Israel, take one. You have this. This will bring you good luck. This is life. If you want a good luck charm, they'll give you one. And they say, this is going to give you life. And you know, it's a great opportunity when you can say to them, no, that wee Sheva doesn't give me life unless I understand what it stands for. It's not a charm. God didn't say to make good luck charms. He said to understand that he shows us mercy. He joins us. He surrounds us. What Eve saw that day, or Adam saw of Eve, was that her life had been extended. Her life was not taken. And she became the mother of all living because God showed his mercy and grace. That's where it comes from. Sheva. So don't wear it as a good luck charm. But anyway, God then goes and makes these tunics. And amazingly enough, the word tunic, as in some versions, if you can say it backwards, it's Hebrew. That tells you how the Hebrew works, and it tells you that things were confused at Babel. Because tunic backwards is, and it's got some vowels in there, but it's K-N-J. K-N-T, sorry, K-N-T. It's the actual English is the exact opposite to the Hebrew, the other way around. So he makes some tunics and he covers them. I've just got a reference to Eden here. What does Eden mean? Well, it's not actually, it doesn't start with an E. It starts with an iron, or I, representing an iron, which is your eye. Where is it here? Let's see Eden just because we're on there. There we go. Ayan or iron. There it goes. It's an eye to see, perceive. So Eden was see the door of life. That's where it was. See the door of life. That's what the name Eden means. See the door of life. That's what Adam sees. I'm going to jump across just really quickly because I'm just about time's up. But I want to tell you a wee bit about another person in the Bible, and he comes up. We were talking about him the other night. A man called Moshe or Moses. And I want to just go into his name just for a wee minute. Because I want to tell you or show you that God is in control. So here goes this man and this woman, and here goes the situation. The king of Egypt had forgotten about Joseph in the days past. They got a new king. And they started, the Egyptians started being very harsh on the Israelites who were living in Egypt. And we've got these two midwives there for a start off, and it's amazing their names. First one is SH or S, it's SH. And actually when we come to this word here, this S word, we can see lots of that in the English. Share something, you separate it. You share the sheep, you separate the sheep. When you shoot your gun, which one happens? Do you break, destroy, separate? You probably do all three. So we've got lots of SH words in the English, and some of them are just S words that they've taken the H out of, that the English has managed to come down through rather than say the SH, and they even had that problem in the Judges. There was those tribes that couldn't say the sh, they could say s. Remember the brook, they met up with them and they said, say whatever the word was with sh in it, and they'd say, you're not part of us. So there we read about it there. Well, that must have been the English by the looks of things, because they can't say, a lot of our English words haven't got the SH in them. But anyway, here goes sh, P-H, P, pay, mouth speak, R, resh, person, or head, and H, revealed, Shapira. What was her name? It was very, very close to the person that she had to go and see, and that was Pharaoh. But what was she doing? She's separating from Pharaoh. That was her name. That meant she'd be given that name and then having to go and stand before Pharaoh. And I don't know if Pharaoh picked it up. Perhaps she said, my name's Shapira. Because if he understood a bit of Hebrew, he might not have wanted to. It was pretty rebellious. And of course the other person's name was, it's got Pharaoh's letters in it too. It's P-I-H. But here goes these two women, and they were the midwives. And they were ordered to throw the children into the river. And then along comes Moses' parents, and they have this good looking kid, and they say, well, we're not going to put him in the river. So they hide him for 3 months. And then after 3 months, they couldn't hide him anymore. So what does the mother do? She makes an ark. It's called a basket in the Bible, but it's actually the same word as ark. She makes an ark. Perhaps she's thinking back to Noah. And she puts this baby, she pitches it just like the ark, different pitch though. And she puts it into the river. She sends the daughter there, and the daughter watches it. And she says, she watches, and of all people, out comes Pharaoh's daughter. And she sees this ark and she says, oh, what's in there? And the servants go and get it and they bring it over and it's a baby. It's a Hebrew baby. And then comes Miriam, the sister, into the play and she says, do you want me to get a Hebrew woman to look after this baby? And she goes and gets its own mother. And this princess gives the orders, you bring this baby up on my behalf. And then she presents him. The mother presents the baby to the princess. And the princess says, I'm going to call his name Moshe or Moses. Water, blood, chaos. I think we'll go for the water. Moshe, S-H. Water separate. She says, I'm going to call him Moshe because I drew him out of the water. Well, that's not really what happened. She drew him out. But she separated him, the S-H, she separated him from the water. And his name's Moses. And I'm going to quickly just run through some of the things of Moses' life. Here goes this man and he's separated from the water and his name's Moshe. Water, blood, chaos, separate, destroy, break, it's tooth. This is his name. I think he probably was, by the time he's finished, he's probably saying, why didn't I get another name? Because what were the achievements of Moses' life? Named by a princess in Egypt, Moshe goes out, and the first thing that happens is just after that, you see that he sees somebody who's separated by blood, Shem, it's the same thing for name, but this person's separated from him by blood, and he kills him. And then the Pharaoh hears about it, so Moses is off, and he runs off, and he goes down to Midian, and he comes to some water, and he's there by the water, he goes to sleep by the water, and he wakes up because there's a bit of a ruckus going on. And there's some people trying to get to the water. And what does Moses do? He separates them. This is how the Bible reads. He takes them and he separates those people. And he brings these girls in to get the water. So what were they saying? They were saying, Moshe. They go home and they say to their father, hey, we met a guy today and he actually separated these people that were trying to get to the water and his name's Water Separate. And Midian, Moses' father-in-law becomes, he says, well, you can come into my house. And he marries his daughter, Sapphira, I think it is. And then Moses is called back to Egypt. And what does he do? Gets back there. And what does he do? The first thing he does is he separates some blood and water. He makes the water turn to blood. He does the same old thing he's really good at what his name means. He's actually separating this water and he's making it into blood. And then on it goes and you get to the Passover. And here goes the Passover. What happens at the Passover? The people are separated by blood, Moshe. They're separated by blood. And there it is again. His name comes up again. Like somebody's called him to this name. And then they escape they leave Egypt and they get to the Red Sea. And what does Moses do? Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. He separates the water. Moshe, his name again. And then it goes on and there's a bitter water and Moses throws a tree into it and it says he separates it again. And it goes on. It gets to a rock and he separates the rock and the water comes out. I just want to encourage us that God is in control. He knew way back when that Egyptian princess called Moses Moshe, or Moses we call it, that he had a planned for Moses' life that was going to be all about separating by blood and by water. His name was going to be his life. So yeah, God's in control. God was in control in Moshe's day. It's just so interesting reading these things in the Hebrew that you see that Moses was called for a reason, and that reason was for separating. And yeah, amazing stuff. But let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that you're in control. You know us. You know our lives. You've got a purpose for each one of us. And we just give you thanks for this. We thank you that heaven and earth have been brought together by Yeshua on a cross. So we just thank you in his wonderful name that we can gather here, that we can have fellowship together and just see you at work in all our lives. We thank you in Yeshua's wonderful name. Amen.